Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 35 on Through the Word and the Cities of Refuge. Sometimes it seems that the whole world runs on vengeance, like there's no escaping the endless cycle of payback. For the Israelites, God provided an escape. Three great Bible themes will meet together in one story here: justice, blood, and refuge. But it starts with a much lighter topic, living space. Verse 2, command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. So the first five verses are God's instruction to give cities for the Levites throughout the land of Israel. Remember, Levi did not get their own portion of the land. The other tribes were each given a stretch of land within the nation, sort of like states in the Union. Not for Levi, though. The Lord was to be their portion as they served in the temple. But they still needed a home. So God called for cities to be set aside, 48 in all, and spread across the nation. This way the Levites would be among the people, so they could serve them, yet still together enough to maintain their own identity. Levites took turns being responsible at the temple, but they were always responsible to teach the people God's law and God's ways. For Christians, we are called to ministry among the people, in the world but not of it. God stations us all over to be light in schools, in business, in government. Church gatherings are for training and equipping, like the huddle before the play. But real ministry happens in your neighborhood and in your workplace. Then in verse 6, the cities for the Levites suddenly get interesting. Six of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. So out of the 48, six are set aside. Cities of refuge. Sounds cool. What is it? Verse 12 explains, they will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. So here's how it worked. If someone was killed, the avenger of blood had a responsibility to take the life of the murderer. Now, avenger of blood is not a Marvel superhero, at least not that I know of. It was the next of kin to the one killed. They had no police or sheriff, so it was up to families and city leaders to maintain law and order. Now, the avenger of blood was not mandated by God's law, but it was common practice. But what if it was an accident? What about a fair trial? God is a God of justice, not vigilante justice, righteous and fair justice. So he set some rules in place, including the city of refuge. As I said in the intro, there are three massive Bible themes that all weave together here: justice, blood, and refuge. Justice is rooted in the very nature of God. The Lord calls on mankind to administer justice, which includes both protection and punishment. It started in Genesis 9, after the flood, after God personally put an end to out-of-control violence. He gave man a responsibility. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each human being, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. So God established man's responsibility for justice with the institution of capital punishment, life for life. And notice the wording. God specifically calls for an accounting for the lifeblood of our fellow man. That's theme number two, blood. Back here in Numbers, it's not avenger of death, it's avenger of blood. So what is it about blood specifically? Blood is one of the greatest and most pervasive themes of the Bible. Bible scholars have often noted that there is a thread of redemption that runs throughout the Bible, and the color of that thread is crimson. In the Bible, blood is always associated with life and with taking a life, and it's more than just symbolism. Of course, science tells us that our lives depend on blood, but I think there is more to blood than meets the microscope. After all, just 8 pints of uncorrupted blood was enough to save the world. That's not symbolism. There is something about the blood. To be honest, I'm still figuring this one out. The pieces of the puzzle are scattered throughout the Word. Still putting it all together. It's definitely worthy of a word study. Try a verse search for the word blood and look for some connections. And the third theme here is refuge. A refuge is a place of protection from danger. When I played tag in school, we called it a safety. The water fountain is safe. It meant no one could get you. When the Avenger of Blood was it, the City of Refuge was the water fountain. Safe. So here's how it worked. In verse 15, anyone who has killed accidentally can flee to the cities of refuge. That went for foreigners, too. However, this was not a place for outlaws to hide out. That's not justice. Verses 16 to 21 explain clearly that anyone with malice aforethought, that means premeditation, was a murderer. And in verse 19, the Avenger of Blood shall put the murderer to death, which usually meant stoning. No prisons, no reforming, just put to death. Justice. That's not a political statement. I'm just telling you God's law for Israel. Then verse 22 brings it back to the real focus. What if it was unintentional, without hostility? That's what the City of Refuge was for. In verse 24, the assembly must judge. And in verse 25, the assembly must protect the one accused of murder from the Avenger of Blood and send the accused back to the City of Refuge. So God set the responsibility on the people to balance the scales of justice. This was basically a grand jury, responsible to judge the guilty and to protect the innocent. That's a serious responsibility. Now, there are a few interesting add-ins to this rule. In verse 25, the accused must stay in the City of Refuge until the death of the high priest. After the high priest died, the accidental killer could return home. Read this one carefully. There's a picture of Jesus here. Then verse 30 requires two or more witnesses, and verse 31 forbids taking a ransom to let a murderer go free. Now, as you read Numbers 35, pay special attention to the last two verses. Here again, it is clear that there is something peculiar about blood. Verse 33, do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. That one intrigues me. Bloodshed pollutes the land. Back in Genesis 4, the blood of Abel cried out to God from the ground. Was that just a figure of speech? Leviticus tells us the life is in the blood. And here in Numbers, atonement had to be made for bloodshed, and only by the blood of the one who shed it. Hebrews 9 says that without shedding of blood, there is no redemption. So how does all this tie together? I don't quite have it all in one neat, clean answer. This much I do know. There is something about blood. And you and I are not redeemed by corruptible things like gold and silver. It was no cheap ransom posted for our lives. It was the blood of Christ. And though we are warned again and again not to find life as the pagans do, by drinking blood, Jesus shocked the Jews when he said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." I'm still not sure how to fit all the pieces, but I do believe that Jesus' blood is the centerpiece that holds them all together. Back here in verse 34, do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.